You are listening to a special edition podcast for the Fantastic Four. Hey, come along, take the ride. There's a party over there that ain't no job. It's live, live, it's all the way live. Don't even have to walk, don't even have to drive. Just slide, slide, slip it, slide. Just forget about the troubles and your 9 to 5. And just sail on, that's what you do, just sail on. Now the dude's so funky, hey, what do you think? What is it called? It's called a Lakeside Stank. Come along and ride on a fantastic voyage. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the long-awaited debut, introduction, slash mini-film, documentary making of, that is the special edition podcast discussing the Fantastic Four movie, circa 2015. It's been a long road. It's been a very long road. We've all taken that long road to this point. But before we get into all that nonsense, I am the Marvelous Iggy. I am aka Ben, or reverse, however you want to be. Am I the Marvelous Iggy? Am I Ben? Am I going schizophrenic? I have no idea. But joining me is Fantastic Four stalwart, Mr. Jonathan Cotwright. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hi. Well, I'm glad to be back. But anyway.
And, of course, joining our moderator and defenders of Guardians of the Galaxy, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, 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 kids. I'm here to tell you that Michael Chiklis is still the best thing to date, but that's a matter for a different segment.
So here we are. We are here to discuss the and I'm going to keep my bias to myself for now. We're here to discuss the critically panned, possibly considered by many the worst superhero movie, worst movie of all time.
Nah, doesn't deserve that.
No, well, but according to Rotten Tomatoes and its sucking 8% rating, it's one of the worst movies of all time. But we're here to discuss that because we are a Marvel podcast. We've done them all. We've done that shit show that was Age of Ultron. We've done that fun show that was Ant-Man. Now we're doing.
Wow, yeah, and you're impartial.
I'm shit show that is Age of Ultron. Hey, everybody knows where I stand with Age of Ultron, man. I'm just saying. Everybody knows. Fucking tent pole my ass. Okay. Josh Whedon can do no wrong. Well, he did wrong, and it was called Age of Ultron. He also did no wrong when it was called Firefly.
Joss Whedon has done plenty of wrong. Don't let anybody fool you.
Yeah, but I'm tired of the dick sucking is what I'm saying. But anyway, I'm not here to suck Fantastic Four's dick. We're here to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because there was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
There's a lot of ugly.
Okay. Uh-huh. I guess I should preface this because I've been active on social media about this, that I've said this movie is not. There's no fucking way that this movie is as bad as people is. And I was right. I went it. Now, before I continue even further, this movie is not a great. It is not a great movie. It is not an amazing movie. It's not even a good movie. It is a mediocre film at best. I feel like I need to stress that before I go in. That being said, the fucking 8% rating on Rotten Tomatoes and the rantings on the forums and the Twitter messages and saying that Dr. Doom looks like a piece of shit and that the thing looks gay despite that he looks more like his Kirby counterpart than the freaking Michael Chiklis did. On all these other things. And while it was a very interesting movie and very, at points, boring and ultimately no payoff movie, I don't think it's as bad as people are projecting it to be. In fact, I thought that first half, right up until Doom shows up, it was a very cool science fiction movie. I enjoyed it. And I thought that I was going to call it Miles Tells Prower. you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to call him Tails. I thought Tails played a fantastic Reed Richards. I want Tails from Sonic photoshopped as Reed Richards, as Mr. Fantastic.
That's never going to happen.
Internet.
That is not a subculture that exists.
Do it, Internet. It's a subculture of the Mighty Warriors 3, and the Marvelous one demands it. Okay, maybe not demands, but would kind...
Lightly requested.
Would you kind... To quote Bioshock, would you kindly make that a meme?
I must create fan art. Yeah.
Yeah, well... but either way, I thought Miles Tales Per Hour did a great job as Reed Richards capturing... he could have gotten more... I'll get to his negatives in a bit. I thought he captured that...
Let's cover the good for right
now. I thought he did a good job of capturing sort of the nerdy mad scientist thing of Reed, which they took more from Ultimate and Fantastic Four. Wouldn't it be cool if they show up in the cinematic universe and he's the villain already?
He's behind Thanos this entire time.
That would be amazing.
I thought he did a really good job as the role, for at least the role as Reed Richards. Maybe not necessarily Mr. Fantastic, but as Reed Richards, I thought he nailed the character. I liked, I can't remember his name, but the actor who portrayed Franklin Storm, I thought he
Franklin
really...
Storm's actor is named Reg B. Caffey.
Yeah, Reg B. Caffey, who is in the critically acclaimed show House of Cards, the same as the other character who plays his daughter. But they never interact in the scene it together, which is interesting. But I thought he did a good job as Franklin Storm. And visual acting-wise, I liked Victor Von Doom before he sort of went postal. I sort of liked that sort of arrogance that he had. Granted, we got a tip that he was just a fucking gamer guy who became an otaku after being kicked out of school. But I did like sort of that. I did enjoy when he got back to the Baxter Building, that sort of caveat, that sort of arrogance that he had. It wasn't overt, it wasn't campy, but it was just that perfect level of like, this guy is full of himself, but you know what? He can fucking back it up too. Let's see, what else did I like about this movie? I like the suits, and I like that whole scene, and I think the best scene of the movie is when Doom and Johnny and Tails all got together and they drank, and they were like, you know what? Let's go ourselves. Fuck everybody. I like that was the best part of the movie, my opinion, and that camaraderie. In fact, Doom did a better job of being felt like he belonged part of the Fantastic Four more than Ben Grimm did, my opinion. I'm trying to think what else. It was funnier than I thought it would be. Like a lot, a lot of people were saying it was not funny. And let me clarify this. At least for me, person, it was funny. It was very dry humor, and you have to be a certain person to appreciate dry humor. It just wasn't. I think people were expecting, when people expect humor in a Marvel movie, they expect Robert Downey Jr. or some kind of quippy things written by Joss Whedon, preferably. So when they get dry humor, which, be honest with me, guys, a lot of the humor in this movie was dry humor, and I thought it was hilarious at points. Not every joke hit, unfortunately, but, you know, what are you going to do? But overall, I think, with the exceptions of, say, and I thought Johnny did a good job. I think Michael B. Jordan did a good job at Johnny. We could have saw more of the, more of that reckless attitude, you know? But we got what we got. Yeah, I mean, that's what I got. You guys want to say positives?
John, you want to go first?
Yeah, okay, I will. Thank you. I will say this. As much as I might have railed on everything when we talked about the pre-dealing and stuff, I want to state that I was hoping to be wrong and hope that it was actually a decent movie. Kind of, sort of, have, you know, partly met me there. I loved the beginning part of the movie because it was almost straight lifted out of Ultimate Fantastic Four, seeing a young Reed Richards, you know, being ostracized because people were like, you know, you need to pick a real career, not fantasy, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I've got it in my garage. I built it, you know, and I stopped building the car. You know, I liked that. Getting in there, and he gets to the Baxter Building, and the project there was really good. I like the, you know, characterization in there. In fact, the major complaint I had was I didn't get to see more of that camaraderie when they were building the machine, you know, the teleport device, you know, for, you know.
I agree. There were glimpses of it.
Yeah, I really wanted to see more of that than, you know, and, you know, so that way we could get more gravitas and more of the, you know, into Doom's character and see how he would bounce off of, you know, Reed and stuff. And that, up to that point, I really liked the movie. It started going downhill when they did the deal where they went to the dimension, and Sue wasn't even
in there.
Yeah, that right there, I was like, what the fuck? How in the hell does she get her powers in that kind of thing? I mean, yes, they showed
she got hit with the external bubble wave.
Got hit with the wave when it returned, but still, I was like, the whole point of Fantastic Four, and by extension with Doom, because
Doom was part of it.
Yeah, he was part of it.
Focusing on good here, guys. We'll get to the bad in a minute.
I know. It's hard to do it. Okay, then to make it brief and concise, the very first, I would say, one-third of the movie at the beginning, before they start getting the powers and stuff, I really, really enjoyed. After that, it was a mixed bag of cats for me. And I'll leave it at that until we get to the bad part.
I'll say this one more thing about the good, from my perspective, is after they get the powers and you see the sort of the introduction of the powers, and it kind of sets the tone of the film. It kind of basically tells you the tone of the film, what you're going to get. I mean, granted,
yeah, the body horror part, I did like part of that.
Like where Reed is crawling from the wreckage and you can just see him stretch and just like, that's horrifying. Or, you know, Johnny lying there and just like on fire, and then the way his mouth like looked and his facial features.
It looked like Sunspot almost from the X-Men. Yeah. It looked like they transplanted that effect, which was not a bad thing. It was actually a pretty decent effect.
Yeah. But just like I liked playing up like this was a freak accident and these kids are probably in horrible pain. Like seeing Reed stretched out like that. And of course eventually when Doom comes in, seeing the pain he's in, it's just like, oh God. Oh God. Like I've never felt like you know, when you think of superhero origins, like you should feel sorry for Tony Stark for getting the thing, but I never did. I didn't. You should feel sorry for when Bruce gets hit, but you really don't, because they're fine. They're seemingly fine afterwards, or they come out okay. They don't come out okay after this. They're genetically altered, and just how visceral and raw it was really took me off. And so much that I saw it with a friend of mine today. She brought her little sister. We're thinking, oh, let's go see Fantastic Four. I'm sure she'll enjoy it. She wanted to leave the theater at that point because of how freaky it was. And even I was taken aback. I'm like, damn, this got real really quickly. Like once the whole the shuttle started to come in, and then you see the rocks, and one, seeing Johnny Storm being lit on fire, like, it's never comfortable to see somebody being lit on fire. I don't care how, you know, what race you are, but it's that whole part really, I wanted to stand up and clap. Like, that was a really well-done sequence, until Reed runs away like a little bitch. Fuck you, Tails. Brian, good.
Okay, I'm going to kind of sort of co-sign. Everything up to the time jump is pretty solid. It's decently acted, well put together, it has moments of tenseness, and you get a sense of camaraderie. But at the same time, everything after the time skip is... that's safer. Never mind. So I guess I'll just cap it off by saying that everything up until the one-year time jump is solid. I guess I'll cap it at that. The childhood scenes I thought were probably very, very well done. Probably one of the better parts of the film. The whole thing with Ben and Reed and their friendship over him building a teleporter and stuff and him blacking out New York, that was very good. I enjoyed their interactions. And then Reed sort of being introduced into this big thing with Victor as well. The early stuff with Victor is pretty good. And Reggie B. Cathy's Frankenstorm is solid as well. Michael B. Jordan wasn't bad as Johnny Storm. There are flickers there of the original comic character that I enjoyed.
Evans is better.
We'll get to that. But I'll co-sign that Miles Teller is probably a very, very good Reed Richards. I enjoyed his sort of, as you put it, Iggy, the mad scientist persona. I enjoyed that immensely. And also, one other thing, I will give credit to Tim Blake Nelson for being just as slimy as you can expect.
Was
as
he
the
supposed
guy.
To be anybody?
Originally, he was rumored to be Harvey Elder, a.k.a. the Mole Man, but after a quick Wikipedia check, I found out they changed his character to a nameless doctor named Harvey Allen, who runs the backstory.
He would have been a great Mole Man. That's a missed opportunity.
Well,
right
see, when I didn't know that until tonight when I was putting out my review, compiling pros and cons, so at the end, I was pissed because I thought it was a waste of a character, and I was going to put not only this, but the loss of the leader in Incredible Hulk, yeah, I'm blaming this movie for that, on this. But now I found out that he's not even Harvey Elder to begin with. So it's less of a sting, but there was nobody... I didn't know that they changed the character. I mean, he was originally supposed to be the Mole Man, but I guess something changed in development, whether it's Fox's part or Trank, I don't know. And also, I don't want to spoil my initial concluding opinion of it, but I will say that this is mercifully short at only an hour and 45 minutes.
It didn't feel like that, though.
It didn't feel like it, but it had its. It only ran an hour 45, so it didn't take up too much of my time. But I'll thank you then for cutting it down to under 2 hours. But then again, maybe a longer runtime might help things out a little bit, maybe flesh some other things out. But that's for another segment. So
we talked about the good, which unfortunately was not a lot. Let's go into the bad. Sue Storm. I'm going to call off with Sue Storm in that. It's not her, although it's partially the actress's fault too, but also how her part was written. But anytime she was on screen, I didn't get any screen presence from her. I didn't get any sort of character in this. Like she just felt like a robot. Like anytime she spoke, she felt like an unkind robot. And, you know, like, it's fine that they didn't, like, they teased. Like, the only time she showed any, like, scene with, like, sort of emotion was the scene where her and Reed are slightly flirting. And they never do that again. They never, ever do that again. Because Reed goes AWOL after a little bit. But I really didn't like Sue Storm. And partially because of the writing her out, but also whatever she was given with, it was just so animatronic. And just unbecoming. Jamie Bell as the Thing, that's his name, right?
Right. Yes, that's the actor's name, Jamie Bell.
I liked when he was not the Thing. Because, like, you know, yeah, he's not the hulking dude, whatever. Also, I liked how the Thing looked better in this movie than they did in the Fantastic Four movies. That's my personal opinion. But what I didn't like about the Thing, though, was that I felt like they didn't do anything voice modulation-wise to his voice. It didn't sound nearly as gravelly as it should have been. Like, it just felt like it was going through, like, an echo chamber a little bit. Doom becoming an emo bitch after coming back from the dead. Like even putting so much on the hood, like wiping over his eye. I liked how Doom. I visually enjoyed how Doom looked, but I did not enjoy how. I visually enjoyed how Doom looked. I did not how he acted afterwards, and that he became a cliche when clearly in the first act his character showed caveats for much more. If that means anything,
About like. What his character could have been.
His character could have been so much more than...
He had more potential in there early on than Julie McMahon. Was DOA in 05.
Like, yeah, because like, in the beginning of the movie, Doom is like, we can save the world, we're humanitarian. I mean, I'm not saying to turn Doom into an anti-hero or anything, but like, at the end of it, he's like, you know, he becomes straight up full villain, and granted, he might have seen some shit.
In this one also, he has the genius intellect, and he's more inclined towards, you know, actual scientific thinking and stuff, whereas in 05, he was more of just a businessman. He was a shark, basically, for business. But in this one, he's a legitimate genius with an actual grudge against the government and such. So, you know, you think he might have more compelling motivations to play off of later on.
No, he doesn't.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, there should have been more of a group dynamic with them before they fight Doom. Like, I feel like the decision to write Reed out to run away was a huge mistake. And that time could have been used to have them working with each other and getting that camaraderie together. You know, we got, again, like John mentioned, that we got a glimpse of the camaraderie when they're building a machine, with the exception of Jamie Bell, who feels like an afterthought. I'm not going to lie. Both Sue Storm and Jamie Bell, both Ben Grimm and Sue Storm feel like afterthoughts, and that Johnny Storm and Tails both got the better character development between the four, and then Doom even more so than the other two. But I feel like having the decision of Reed walk away or escape from the prison or the government facility was a mistake. And I feel like, you know, yeah, you want to keep them separate, but it's like, you know, like within the government's sort of bullshit. But have them on the same, you know, have them work with each other, you know? Like, it just, like, they don't become the Fantastic Four till literally 10 minutes before the movie's about to end. Which led to one of the most anticlimactic fight scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
Ooh, boy, like, you ain't kidding.
Like, that was just so ham-fisted, so cliche, and not entertaining. It wasn't. Like at the, you have this dimensional wormhole, but, you know, there was no proper build to it. It kind of just goes from 0 to 60 really fucking fast. As one thing this is happening, then boom, then Doom starts unleashing shit. Although I did enjoy him basically sort of killing all, like exploding, heading the all the scientists.
Scanners up in this bitch, Mitch.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, Doom went full on horror villain right there, and I did enjoy that. But once he gets into the Planet Zero. Yeah, not the
negative zone. Z0
not
planet.
Not the negative zone. But once he gets there and he goes, I think he says something to the equivalent of, like, you don't have to do this. Like, I think Reed says something you don't have to do alone. It's like, I've always been alone. I'm like, I can feel the edge. I can feel you cutting your wrist.
God.
Feel you slicing
I'm
your
waiting
wrist
for someone to come up with, like, an AMV where you just hear, like, Linkin Park, like, crawling in my skin.
Yeah.
Just over the background, yeah. And it's
somebody
like...
Somebody should edit that in that scene.
Reminiscence, yeah.
Also, as much as I enjoyed Tails as Miles Test Per Hour as Reed, man, the man could use some acting lessons in Vault and Range, because anytime he attempted to yell, it'd be like, Victor, no. Johnny, no. Sue, help me. Like, very stiff and unconvincing. Like, it's like he put no emotional weight into acting, you know? Say what you will of, like, oh, he was given a shit script, oh, this and that. I'm like, no, you are an actor. You are being paid professionally to act. And me as a person who lives and dies on, you know, work ethic, that to me was, like, the most phoned-in sort of outcry of emotion. The only time he genuinely had emotion was during the visceral scenes, as I call them. Let's see. What else did I not like about this film? The pacing was awful, because the first act, while a very good first act, in comparison to the second act, blows by, so it was horrible pacing. I mean, that goes to show that it kind of feels like it's two movies. Like, the first, it feels like Trank directed the first half of the movie, and then the second half of the movie is when his ass got canned, and then they...
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that's actually how it went down. That's
probably how it went.
So yeah, that's how I feel like... That's what I feel like happened. But yeah, and then that ending, that sort of very dry, and like, as much as I praise the dry humor, but the ending of the thing saying fantastic, and Reed goes, say that again, fantastic, yeah, and then, like, he doesn't even say it, and then it just cuts to Fantastic Four. I just felt like that was a dry moment. But and then, you know, I wasn't a fan of Johnny and his daddy issues, you know. I wasn't a fan of that. Okay, that's sort of my negativities about it. John, batter's up.
Okay. First off, I'm going to say this right now. I did not like that. If they want to say, you know, they want to link in, you know, MCU with this, they had perfect opportunity near the end of the movie, because, like, we were joking off screen. I swear they were channeling Age of Ultron's final battle in there.
It was a dimensional warp hole.
I know, but I'm just saying, just with Earth and all that was going through there, I almost half expected to see Tony and them flying through, you know, fighting, you know, the Ultron bot, you know, Ultron bots and stuff. And then just to Doom, I can see where you liked him on this, and to some degree I did too, but I liked some of his power, you know, display that he did, you know, when he went full on scanners, but it was not Doom. I cannot call that guy Doom. Even the ultimate version, I cannot call him Doom. It just, I don't know. I was just like, okay, and you slapped a cape on him, and he looked somewhat resembling him, so there you go. And I'm like, the 2005 movie, at least Doom looked like Doom in the near the end part of the mask.
Like Doom. That wasn't Doom.
Yeah, I didn't say he acted like Doom, but he looked like Doom.
He looked like a shitty cosplay version of Doom.
Yeah, well, it's still better than what I saw in this one.
Some might say this one looks like a shitty cosplay version of Doom.
Yeah, this one looks like a horror version of Doom. And Iggy likes horror version of Doom.
The Roger Corman films Doom looked better. And that's
fucking shots fired.
Wow, that's a low blow.
That escalated rather quickly, I know.
Yes.
But like you said, it was like two different films. The first part, I actually was pleasantly surprised by it, and I was like, okay, maybe I'm going to be getting a halfway decent, you know, movie out of it. And it just went to shit. And I cannot believe that, what's her name, Sue, had her name,
Kate Mara,
wonderful actress. I loved her in The Shooter, and I definitely loved her in House of Cards. And, but here, it was just like, she just didn't have anything to do and except sit there and listen to music on headphones. That was about it. Wasn't even part of the trip.
I was expecting the headphones to be Beats by Dre. Were they?
No, they weren't, but, you know, wouldn't have surprised me if they slapped that in. Michael B. Jordan, and I swear to God, if anybody gives me shit saying that I didn't like him because he was black, I'm going to slap the shit out of him. I did not like him as Johnny Storm. That being said, it was not because him and Franklin were black or whatever. That has nothing to do with it. It was how they wrote him and how they portrayed him. The effects for the torch were good. I will say that, but I did not. Yeah, the thing I thought looked good for the most part. I agree the vocals weren't as good. I think Chilkis did a better speaking, you know, in terms of as the thing.
I don't think it was necessarily Chilkis. I don't know if it was Chilkis, but I think whoever did the sound thing back in 2005.
The mannerisms and stuff, how they...
You're not going to give him any credit, are you?
No. Chilkis?
Yeah.
No. Chilkis looked like an orange Fruity Pebble come to life.
I will admit that the costume...
Let's just get to my part so I can rip this movie apart.
We will. But let me finish. The ever-loving blue-eyed thing wasn't there.
He didn't have blue eyes.
Well, I'm just saying.
Did he? I don't even remember.
Who cares? He's barely in the movie.
Actually, he's in a lot of the movie. He's just in the background doing military shit.
Then I did like Miles Teller. Yeah, I agree. His acting range went from somewhat decent to like, no, hey, stop that. And I'm like, what the hell were you all smoking? Were you taking depressants or something that day? The final part just left me. I was like, okay, this is where I'm here. I have to agree with, you know, the general public on some of it. It just fell flat completely to me. And I will say this. The one good thing is I won't be seeing Chronicle anytime soon. Any interest I had went out the window.
Chronicle is actually pretty decent, I thought.
Okay, well,
not because of freaking Josh Trank, though.
Well,
that shit was because Max Landis had a
solid script.
Had a very solid script.
Yeah, that was the other thing. The scripting was very weak in a lot of areas. It just, like I said, I told a friend of mine offline before I even came in to do this. I said I give it a 2 out of 5 because there was a lot that I wanted to say and love about it. But there was also the bad majorly outweighed the good. And that's all I'm going to say on it. Go ahead, Bri.
All right, batter's up.
Okay. Whew. Let's start with characters. Second half of the movie, Doom lacks any motivation or explanation for his powers whatsoever. Okay. Ben is not...
Nihilus. That's who it was. It was a Nihilus.
Ben is not Ben Grimm. He's not the thing. Ben, for all his whatever you... look, Ben Grimm, even when he is the thing, still has... He's boisterous. He's loud. He's a jolly guy in some cases when he's around his family and his friends. I think what they tried to play off here is the strong and silent type archetype for Jamie Bell. And if that's the case, it failed because... On top of that, he's barely a presence in this film beyond anything involving Reed Richards. If Reed's not on screen or important, Ben is probably not on screen or important. Sue is as lifeless as the plot of this movie is. She has absolutely nothing to say for her individually. She is basically busy being thrashed about from plot point to plot point by the actors of other characters as opposed to her own agency. Johnny isn't all that good. His devil-may-care attitude is ascribed to him acting out towards his father to get back at him for some unexplained reason that's not unresolved, even at his death. It is a waste of Tim Blake Nelson's character when we thought he was going to be Harvey Elder, and the fact that he didn't say who he was.
Doesn't he die?
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah.
Set up. let's see. The Reed and Ben relationship is lukewarm after they become who they are for the rest of the movie. However, I'll give it, it's more intimate than the Reed-Sue relationship or the Sue-Johnny relationship, and the Johnny-Ben relationship is non-existent to begin
Who's
with.
Your brother?
Johnny and Franklin had a hot and cold and inconsistent relationship. The plot barreled forward without any regard for substantial development, character, or plot. Let's see. The time lapse, supposedly, or maybe allegedly, cost character development and plot development that could have been used in other areas. Again, this is where I think it added runtime, just making it a little bit longer, because there's obviously some stuff that wound up on the cutting room floor. Maybe if those scenes had been added back in, it could have made for a more whole movie, but let's see. The climax was anticlimactic and far too rushed. The CGI left something to be desired. There's no Stan Lee cameo anywhere in this movie whatsoever.
And that was a plus for me.
I'm not sure if that was a sign from God or whatever you call it, but I think it's probably for the best.
What you don't know is that Stan is really Dr. Doom this entire time.
Yeah. And are we going to do like a concluding thing where we sum up our opinions, or are we going to save that for like a... Or are we doing that now? Ben?
What was that?
Are we going to do like a thing where we like sum up our opinions at the end, or are we doing that right now pretty much?
Anything else to say?
Well, I do, but most of it's...
I feel like there's no point because we pretty much gave... Like, this is a I guess we'll go ahead and do that. It's a mediocre film at best. And it's not, okay. But it's not nearly as bad as people say it is.
Fine, then I'll brush up. This movie, in my also humble opinion, is boring, drab, and lifeless. There's no humor, no laughter, no excitement, no sadness, nothing eliciting an emotional response from me. And say what you will about the 2005 Fantastic Four film, but at least that movie felt like it had a pulse. There are moments in the movie where I laughed, I anticipated some action, I was worried for the characters. There was none of that here. Okay? And that being said, I don't feel good about this. There was a lot of heat going into this movie over the course of casting and plot and its crew
interviews.
And all that shit. And now we're finally at a place where we can certainly say this movie was not good, and I'm not feeling good about it. I don't feel vindicated. I feel let down. The Fantastic Four is an interesting concept, and a lot of other concepts mirroring that have died off long before now. This is the Fantastic Four. They've persevered through the ages because they are the first family of Marvel. They are not a family in this one. I think where the first 2005 movie went wrong was that they geared more towards too much on the family, not enough on the superhero. Okay? It was stronger character, weaker plot. This is the opposite. The plot is a little stronger, but the characters are might as well be mannequins just saying lines fed to them. Okay? There is nothing that makes me think these people even care about each other. Johnny and Ben don't even talk to each other until the end of the movie. And the same could be said for Ben and Sue. Reed leaves them for a year and doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything. He's off there on his own trying to fix the world again when he can't. And I don't know what it is about the Fantastic Four that throws filmmakers for such a loop that we have yet to have a faithful or good adaptation in almost 30 years of production, given that the rights were first loaned out in 1986. That is literally 30 years studios have had these rights, and no one has done a good or faithful adaptation of the property. Miles McTeller, again, is the only real strong character note. Let's see. I feel like if there was a better writer on deck, Michael B. Jordan may have surpassed Chris Evans as Johnny, but as of this writing, Chris Evans is still the superior Johnny Storm, and in my oh-so-humble opinion, Michael Chiklis is still the superior Ben Grimm as opposed to Jamie Bell. And yes, I prefer the suit to the CGI. What are you going to say? this movie bored me to shit. I'm sorry I paid to see it. I feel like I wasted my time. And however Fox proceeds from here, whether that means rebooting the franchise yet again, or selling the rights back to Marvel, or even partnering with Marvel Studios like Sony's done now with Spider-Man, let it be said that this movie needs to be jettisoned into space and horrifically crashed from orbit. That is what needs to happen to this movie. Because this is not the Fantastic Four. This is a team and a movie calling itself Fantastic Four. This is not the Fantastic Four. They are not a family, and they're not even all on screen together until the climax of the movie, which is bullshit. Okay, I think I'm done.
John, wrap it up. Bye-bye.
All right, I have to echo Brian's sentiment on that. They weren't even the Fantastic Four until the end. And even that was
the fucking end.
That's what I'm saying. And like I said, 2.0, I said 2 out of 5.
I wouldn't even give it that, to be perfectly honest.
I was giving a kind for the surprisingly strong opening for, you know, for me. And that was the main thing. Otherwise, this was probably one of the worst superhero movies I've seen in recent memory. However, it's not the worst. I remember a buttload of Marvel movies
made back in the Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
I'm not even talking Ghost Rider. There were movies worse than Ghost Rider, and like the TV version of Doctor Strange.
You said recent memory. So,
well, I'm just saying.
Who wants to remember Ghost Rider though?
Nicolas Cage does.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage does.
It's because he liked to piss flame. But in fact, I almost kind of wanted to see him piss flame on this film in a lot of parts. But that's not going to happen. This Fox needs to do something. Somebody needs to do something major to get this franchise back up off the ground to even do it remotely right. Whether it be give it back to Marvel, reboot it, something. This was Fantastic Four in name only. And that's it.
It's fantastic bullshit.
All right. Well, obviously, if you look at the Rotten Tomatoes scores, and I think that's a complete load of shit.
I do agree that the Rotten Tomatoes score is a bunch
really,
of BS.
It's fucking better than Pixels, and Pixels is fucking horrible.
Okay, it's better. It's still better than Dragon Ball Evolution.
Yes, it is. That thing is an abomination. You
Even Charlie in fact couldn't save that movie, and he's a good actor.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, well, it's come and gone. Fantastic Four has come and gone. It ultimately sucks that this movie is not as good as it should have been. And it's weird because Fox has been on such a roll with ever since X-Men First Class. You know, granted, it's X-Men movies and not Fantastic Four, but you would think, like, hey, maybe there's some movie magic that can work over to Fantastic Four. And that first trailer looked really promising, at least to me it does, and... But you know what? There's anything to learn is that Josh Trank is possibly one of the most unprofessional directors I've ever seen. I would not be surprised if two things happen. One, that Disney decides to sue Fox for damaging their franchise, because that's what we're talking about here. The sheer amount of hate the Fantastic Four is reaching, not necessarily the movie, but the brand is reaching. Could require in basically, I wouldn't be surprised if the mouse was like, oh ho, you're damaging, you know, like that thing. Oh ho, I'm gonna sue you for hurting the king's character.
Well, this isn't the mouse. I mean, this is the fox.
No, I know, but like the mouse would sue the fox, because like technically Disney still owns the comic book and probably the television rights to the Fantastic Four, and it's still their babies, whether they don't own the movie rights, but. I would not be surprised if some litigation was going through, but I definitely would not be surprised if litigation is not brought up against Josh Trank, who tweeted out very publicly, ultimately deleted it, but that doesn't mean that nobody didn't copy and paste it, because good lord.
Oh, it's already been preserved.
So it's like, you put it out there, buddy. You, like, why delete it? At that point, why delete it? You know? But Josh Trank has got to be, from reports and from that tweet, has got to be one of the biggest douchebags I've ever seen and most unprofessional directors I've ever heard of publicly. Because at least there may be disrespectful douchebags in Hollywood in a directing chair. I've never heard of a train wreck this bad. Like, This production.
If I may interject for just a moment, just to share some tidbits from you. Going to Kate Mara's performance, it is said that he was either openly hostile or very cold towards her because he didn't want her as the role of Sue Storm. That was a studio decision that was handed down, so he revolted sort of against that by taking it out on her. Miles Teller was ultimately his choice for Mr. Fantastic. He championed him, but they still apparently didn't like each other in the movie, and that came to blows over that.
Maybe Josh Trank is just an unlikable asshole.
Yeah. The guy you want to get on the movie doesn't want to be in a movie with you, you really have to stop and consider what the hell you're
doing. I know that because I am an unlikable asshole. I'm not, but to some people, my demeanor, it's... I know you guys don't think I'm that, but, you know. I see how it is.
Love you.
All right, but go ahead and continue, Brian, if you had any more tidbits.
And just other stuff, like he was clashing with studio heads over decisions over this and that, and the fact that Fox came down with rewrites in like the third quarter right as they were entering pre-production and principal photography and such. So everything was done to create a hostile environment. Again, that's not excusing his actions. That in no way excuses the monstrosity that is the clusterfuck of Josh Trank's behind-the-scenes snafus. But it sounds like from the very beginning they were at odds, Fox and Josh Trank. And whether that resulted in a poor movie, I don't really know. I mean, if depending on what we know about it, like what may surface in later months or years or even on the DVD, like and what ended up on the cutting room floor, it's really hard to tell what the movie could have been had everything gone more smoothly.
Yeah, because I was looking forward to seeing Kate Mara, you know, because if there was anything, that was a bright spot for an otherwise bad shitstorm that I was hearing over the last year of the movie, and the way that was handled, oh my God. And she's a good actress. I mean, she's not the greatest actress ever, but she's far more capable than what they did in this movie with her.
So can we pinpoint that the fact that she had a horrible performance on Josh Trank?
We can certainly make it out to be that way. I'm not saying it's true one way or the other.
Let's do it then, because he's already announced it to the public, so why not?
Fine, let's blame Josh Trank, everybody.
I'd like to meet Josh Trank so I can hit him in the face for this monstrosity, but that's just a whole other story.
Imagine, and you know, and like the arrogance of his tweet, if my movie would have been made, it would have gotten positive reviews.
We'll never see that now. Oh no, the world is a lesser place.
Is that what he said? Can you pull up the tweet?
I will pull up the tweet. But that's not exactly what he said.
We're gonna end this on this because it's becoming the Josh Trank bashing. I'll
bash him.
But you know what? His unprofessionalism got him fired.
And I'm thankful that he's not touching Star Wars.
Cruel, cold behavior that ultimately resulted in I don't know what the fuck. But here we go. Quote: a year ago, I had a fantastic version of this. And it would have received great reviews. You'll probably never see it. That's reality, though. End quote. Josh Trank.
All right. Well, on that note, let us know what you thought of Fantastic Four. Do you believe it deserves the 8% ranking on Rotten Tomatoes? Do you believe it's as bad as they say it is? Do you genuinely like this movie? Because I know there are people who genuinely like this movie. And I know there's a lot more I liked about it and I didn't like of it, including Victor Von Doom. There's a lot I didn't like about it, obviously, but let us know what you thought. That'll be doing it for this year's special edition podcast, because we're on hiatus till the special edition shows. We're going to be back regularly next week, but the special edition shows return in December for Star Wars Episode 7. Yes, for the first time in the Mighty Warrior Stream Marvel podcast, we will be doing a movie review, not on a Marvel movie, but because fucking Disney owns Marvel, Marvel makes of Star Wars comics, therefore gives us reasoning to do a review for Star Wars Episode 7. So I don't know if I revealed that or not, Flame on, bitches. We'll see y'all next time.